Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt as of the third quarter of 2021. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Jaime Villarreal Camero, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and Maria del Carmen Bonilla, Head of the Debt Management Office at the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you're all doing well. We thank you very much for attending this conference call. We're going to start, as usual, telling you a little bit about how we're seeing things for the global economy, then the evolution of Mexican economy, and then we'll proceed to talk about the latest data on public finances and public debt. So in the global economy, what we have seen, what we have been following is a moderation in the pace of global recovery and inflation. Inflation pressures worldwide during the third quarter, as you know very well. However, the global economy is still expected to reach its pre-pandemic levels in general by year end. The third quarter of this year was marked, as you know, by a new wave of COVID all over the world mainly to the Delta variant. However, the progress in vaccination programs have helped cushion the health and economic impact of this wave. As of October 25th, the latest data we have available, close to 50% of the global population have already been vaccinated with already one dose. The last time we spoke, the comparable figure, which was September 9th, 30% of the population has been vaccinated. So that's a big improvement. So this helped to have services less affected this time in the third quarter than with previous experiences. We did see, however, a decrease, for example, in PMI services of 4.1 points during the third quarter, but this was much lower than the 29 points that it decreased in the first wave. Also, we saw a slowdown in the growth rate of retail sales, both in the U.S. and the euro area. In the euro area, the retail sales remain 3.1% above pre-pandemic levels, and in the U.S., they are close to 20% above pre-pandemic levels. In the third quarter, we also saw a continuation of the disruptions in global supply chains that we have been observing for a while now, mainly because of the shortage in chips, semiconductors, some other key inputs in manufacturing and production. And we also saw some volatility and shortages in the energy sector, which translated also into increases in energy prices, very, very significant. And they combined have negatively impacted the economic activity. On the production side, for example, we saw a decline in industrial production in the U.S. in September of 1.3% month to month, with seasonal adjusted figures. And in the euro area for August, we saw also a decline month-to-month of 1.6%. In global manufacturing, PMI reduced 1.4 points during the third quarter, but still remains in expansion zone standing at 54.1 points. On the price side, what we have seen are inflationary pressures worldwide. Annual inflation rates, for example, as of September in the U.S. reached 5.4%, the highest figure since 2008. And in the euro area, we saw a 3.4% inflation, which is the highest in 13 years. So what we just yesterday and today, we saw new data, GDP for the U.S. and the Eurozone. The U.S. growth moderated to 0.5% quarter to quarter in the third quarter from the 1.6 that we saw in the second quarter. China's GDP slowed down from 1.2% growth quarter to quarter in the second quarter to 0.2% in this third quarter. And the Eurozone stood out there with actually a slight acceleration, from 2.1% in the second quarter to 2.2% growth in the third quarter. This is also because of difference how in the rebounds in the U.S. and China, which was very strong in the beginning. The Eurozone has the recovery has been more moderate but sustained. Despite the above and what we have just talked and some downside risks, the global economy is still expected to recover its pre-pandemic levels by the end of this year. The IMF October estimates, which were released very recently, had minor changes over the July estimates. So for the global economy, for example, the IMF is estimating a growth in 2021 of 5.9%, down from the previous estimate only in 0.1 percentage point. There was some changes between advanced economies and emerging markets that give you this total number. So for advanced economies, there was a revision to the downside of 0.4 percentage point in their growth this year to 5.2%. And for emerging markets, there was an improvement, actually a slight improvement, but improvement nonetheless, of 0.1 percentage points to reach 6.4%, this year. So this is what we saw in the global economy. It's very similar to what we have been seeing in general here in Mexico, with some domestic factors also playing into the growth figures. In all this complex global environment in terms of inflation and supply of goods and rising infections, the progress in the national vaccination plan has in general contributed to strengthen the domestic market we have seen and to improve some labor outcomes during the third quarter. So in terms of health, for example, the impact was during the second wave was notoriously lower than the one we saw in the first wave. To begin with, the peak or the wave is ending faster. The peak was reached faster than in the second wave, during the third wave, by 24 days, which is important because it means less contagions and less deaths and less hospitalizations and other outcomes. Then the vaccination itself, as we have already talked about on September 9th, the vaccination has helped reduce hospitalizations by 25% compared to the second wave, standing at the same number of days of progress of the wave, 130 days in this case I'm comparing. So hospitalizations down 25% and deaths down 53% in the overall population, even though cases increased close to 7% compared to the second wave because of, as we have talked before, higher contagiousness of the Delta variant. What are we seeing in the economic activity? Just today, we all saw the flash GDP figures. The preliminary estimate of GDP stood at minus 0.2% quarter-on-quarter, seasonally adjusted. Yet the results seem to be mainly explained by the effect of the changes in outsourcing regulations, which not expected to be permanent. On the contrary, we expect this effect to be gradually disappear as the industries and services and the work centers where people actually undertake their duties gradually absorb all of this population. We saw in August how business support services decreased 31.5% month to month. And they represent around 4% of the total economic activity. So this is what mainly explains the contraction in services in tertiary activities in general of 0.6% in the third quarter that we saw today. The rest of the sectors in general showed an improvement. Domestic demand, what we're seeing is that it remains as the main pillar of growth. As of July, which is the latest data available, private consumption has reached 97.3% of the pre-pandemic level of February 2020 and has accumulated a 4.4% growth during the first 7 months of this year. We also already saw in September ANTA sales figures, which are 6.4% above the pre-pandemic levels of February 2020. So that's a lead indicator of how we're probably going to see numbers in the next months for private consumption. Gross fixed investment showed a good result in July also, growing 2.1% month-to-month, with seasonal adjusted figures, with a favorable performance across sectors in general. Gross fixed investment reached 98% of the pre-pandemic level and has accumulated 9.3% growth over 2021 up until July. So it's on track. It's showing a sustained recovery. Of course, there's still work to do in that regard, and we are monitoring closely those figures and working on improving. We expect that as the uncertainty and the volatility that the pandemic has brought dissipates, the work on the USMCA and in nearshoring strategies and e-commerce and the work that the federal government here in Mexico is undertaking with the U.S. government under the high-level economic dialogue will help increase competitiveness and attract more investment and help improve these figures. I wanted to talk to you about some highlights regarding production figures. What we have seen is, even in this very challenging global environment that we already described, that the industrial sector has shown resilience. As we saw this morning, secondary activities grew 0.7% quarter on quarter in the third quarter. In July, August, the interest expanded 0.9% versus the previous bimester, and it has shown stability around pre-pandemic levels during this year at around 97% in industry in general. Manufacturing, in particular, has already recovered pre-pandemic levels, and it stands at around 100.3% of those levels, and it has shown also 15 months of consecutive growth in employment, which is a good sign of the outlook that firms are perceiving. We are also seeing higher capacity utilization versus pre-pandemic levels in different sectors. So for example, in communication equipment, we're seeing an increase of 12.6 percentage points. In household appliances, we also are seeing an increase in capacity utilization versus pre-pandemic levels of 10.4 percentage points. And in oil and coal products, we are seeing also an increase of 14.4 percentage points. That's for industrial. Then for services, which are the activities most affected by the pandemic because they are the most contact-intensive ones, we are also seeing a sound performance during the year. Particularly these last few months because of the progress in vaccination. The global index of economic activity for July-August shows an increase in some sectors, for example, arts, entertainment, and recreation of 6.8% versus the previous bimester, May-June. We're also seeing an increase in retail of 3.2%. An increase in accommodation and food services of 1.8% and increase in wholesale trade of 1%. The external trade has helped support also the recovery, of course. However, during 2021, they have slowed down their growth. The high recovery that we saw, pretty fast recovery that we saw in the second half of 2020, due to these bottlenecks and logistics issues and shortage of key inputs that we are seeing globally. So, for example, during the third quarter, we saw exports being pretty much stable compared to the second quarter, after they had grown 2.3% in the second quarter and 1% in the first quarter. However, we saw an increase of non-automotive manufacturing exports of 3.7% during the third quarter, and oil exports also grew 9.4% quarter-on-quarter during the third quarter. The decline came, as explained, mainly by automotive exports, which declined 10.4% quarter-on-quarter, affected by what I already mentioned. Imports, on the other hand, even though they took longer to recover, they have been taking longer, having more dynamic than exports during this year. So during the third quarter, we saw an increase in total imports of 4.4% versus second quarter, continuing a growth of 5.3% in the second quarter and 12.8% in the first quarter. Very importantly, we are seeing also an increase in both intermediate and capital goods imports, which is key because this reflects on future production, as you know very well. So intermediate goods, for example, imports grew 4.2% in the third quarter, and they have been growing steadily since the first quarter. And capital goods grew 1.3% imports. I mean, 1.3% in the third quarter, and they have also been growing during the whole year, every quarter. Moving on to employment, we also saw in general good figures during the third quarter. 785,000 jobs were created comparing to the second quarter. We saw in particular a recovery in the service sector with a creation of close to 500,000 jobs, and it reached 97%, the level of employment reached 97% of the pre-pandemic figure. The industrial sector, on the other hand, reached 99.4 to be precise, of pre-pandemic level. We also saw a decrease in unemployment rate in the third quarter, going down from 55.5% in June 2020 to 4.3% this time. And we have also been seeing a continuous decrease in the sub-occupation rate during the year, although it moderated this decrease in the third quarter. But now the sub-occupation rate at 12.8%. As we mentioned, as we have seen in other countries, these inflation pressures, of course, we have seen them also here in Mexico, as you know. This is mainly the result of some external factors, such as higher international prices of food and raw materials, the shortage of industrial inputs, such as chips that we already talked, but also plastics and petrochemicals, and also increasing transport prices. One, because of logistics issues, bottlenecks, and also because of the higher energy prices everywhere. We are also seeing the effect of some local factors. For example, the recovery in domestic demand has brought and the greater opening of some services, activities, accommodation, restaurants, etc. is bringing a shift in consumption patterns. And that's all causing increase in prices in some of these activities. We're also seeing the effect of adverse weather circumstances, such as hurricanes, etc. So on average, inflation stood at 5.8% year-on-year during the third quarter. It was slightly lower than what we saw in the second quarter by 0.15 percentage points. However, I think it's important to mention that medium and long-term general inflation expectations remain anchored. According to the last survey of specialists carried out by the central bank on October 1st, the expectations for medium-term are stand at 3.60% for inflation, and for the long-term, they stand at 3.50%. The last forecast presented by the Bank of Mexico was for the fourth quarter of 2022 was 3.4% in this regard. Having talked about the economy, we move on to public finances and then public debt. We are gradually leaving the crisis with a strong and resilient public finances. Tax collection, as you know, remains robust and has helped maintain public expenditure to boost economic activity along with sustainable debt levels. So first, revenues. As of the third quarter of 2021, the public sector revenues were 146.5 billion pesos higher than the program, or 5.6% higher in real terms compared to the same period in 2020. I would like to emphasize just some results. One is the evolution of tax revenues, excluding those that come from excise taxes on fuels. These revenues are 91.6 billion pesos above the program, or 4.8% greater than what we saw in the same period of 2020. As you know, as of June, they were 42.3 billion pesos above the program, same revenues, tax revenues, excluding excise tax on fuels. They were 42.3 billion pesos above the program, which was a monthly average of 7.2 billion pesos in excess revenues. So what happened was that during the third quarter, these excess revenues accelerated to 16.2 billion pesos. It's good in itself because it means more resources, of course, but also it's in line with our year-end estimates that we used for the economic package in 2021, which are, as you know, the basis of revenues for next year. So we believe the estimates that we presented for next year are still perfectly achievable and feasible and responsible figures, of course. I would also like to emphasize the results for VAT. They were 116.9 billion pesos above the program, or higher than the figure for last year by 13.5% in real terms, which is consistent with the recovery that we have seen in private consumption and also the strengthening of collection related to digital economy, for example, throughout services like food deliveries, streaming, transportation, and other enhancements in the legal framework that we the administration has implemented since 2019. Finally, because they are also related to some regard with economic activity, the figure for duties, derechos, stood at 38.2 billion pesos above the program, higher than what we saw last year, close to 18% in real terms, bringing more revenues to the federal government. Just one final point on revenues, which is that we're seeing a gradual recomposition of budgetary revenues, which reflect the result of several efforts carried out to strengthen the more permanent sources, as you know, and depend less on the most volatile, such as oil revenues. So what we have seen from these past 3 years, standing in September 2021, is an increase in the share of tax revenues of close to 2 percentage points, and a decrease in the oil revenue share of close to 3 percentage points, which gives a more balanced also and more robust structure for revenues. Moving on to expenditures, what we saw was, in general, net budgetary expenditures stood at very sound levels, 24 billion pesos above the program and higher than the figures for January-September by 5.6% in real terms. Some important figures that we saw was economic development, the expenditure on economic development was close to 164 billion above the program, even if we exclude the contribution to Pemex, which we announced in the Precriterios for next year. Back in April, we have an increase in expenditure there of 67 billion pesos, which is helping support the economic recovery. We are also seeing a decrease in financial costs. Financial cost was 46.1 billion pesos below the program, or lower than last year in 7.8% in real terms. It's important because, one, because it reflects the proactive and efficient management of public debt, which is helping free up resources for more productive uses, such as economic development, as I was mentioning, social development, et cetera, infrastructure projects. But also it helps also for sustainability of our public finances in the midterm and long term. We also saw lower arrears compared to the program by 31.6 billion pesos, or close to 97% lower in real terms versus the third, what we saw January to September last year. Finally, the figures for the public deficit and the public debt. What we have seen, the demonstrated commitment with fiscal responsibility has resulted in sustained support for the recovery in 2021 and 2021, and then again in the figures presented for 2022 in the economic package. We're also seeing a sound fiscal position for Mexico and a stable and sustainable debt path. The public deficit stood at 362 billion pesos, which was better than expected by 143.8 billion pesos, and lower than the one we saw in the same period of last year by 11.5% in real terms. The primary balance stood at 107.6 billion pesos, higher than the program by 94.6 billion pesos, and the PSBR stood at 544.1 billion pesos. As we spoke last time back in September, it was mainly the increase that we see compared to what we expected in last year was comes because of the inflation index debt component, which is registered here in the public sector borrowing requirements, and also because of the use of assets explains the increase compared to what we expected by the end of the year before. We updated our estimate for the PSBR by the end of the year in terms of percentage points of debt to 4.3% from the 4.2% that we had presented back in criterios. But this is just because of a very slight deterioration of 4.9 billion pesos due to a lower out of the budget requirement and a little higher public deficit in nominal terms expected by the end of the year. However, the historical balance of the PSBR is still expected to reach 51% of GDP by the end of the year with this updated estimate. Just wanted to end very quickly my participation to leave the floor to my colleague Maria del Carmen, telling you a little bit about how estimates by the IMF Fiscal Monitor reflect how Mexico compares favorably in terms of the expected evolution of its long-term fiscal position. If you check out the Fiscal Monitor that was released in the figures that were released in October, what the IMF expects is an increase in gross debt for the general government from here, 2021 up until 2026 of only 1.7 percentage points, whereas the figure for the whole emerging markets are considerably higher at 5.4 percentage points. Also, and as we already were talking about financial costs, estimates are that financial costs as percentage of GDP won't grow over the next years, over the next 5 years, whereas for the rest of the emerging economies, they expect it to grow 0.3 percentage points. I'm going to leave it here and leave you with Mari Carmen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cajeme, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for the opportunity to share the main actions regarding debt management strategy during the third quarter of 2021. First of all, I will highlight that the main objective of the debt management policy is to maintain the public debt in a sustainable downward trajectory as percentage of GDP. We reassure our commitment of managing public finances in a responsible, transparent, and efficient manner. Strategy-wise, we will continue our focus to improve the maturity profile, reduce refinancing risk, and seek cost-efficient transactions in order to strengthen the debt portfolio. I will now summarize the main actions contained in the report. Domestic debt market. Despite the volatility facing international financial markets, the uncertainty associated with the global economy and the normalization of monetary policy in developed and emerging markets, the federal government has remained active in the domestic market in line with the annual borrowing plan. On August 13, the Ministry of Finance concluded a switch operation of government bonds, which consisted in the execution of two transactions, a debt buyback of M-bonos with maturities between 2021 and 2023 for a total amount of 76,000 million pesos. In addition, an auction for government securities consisting in bondes de and M-bonos for a total amount of 80,000 million pesos, with maturities between 2024 and 2031. The operation allowed an exchange between floating and fixed interest rate instruments. Part of these objectives that were achieved through this transaction were allow holders to rebalance their portfolio, contribute to preserve the orderly functioning of the local debt market, improve the secondary market liquidity and levels, and optimize the maturity profile. It is important to emphasize that this operation reduced in 70,000 million pesos the debt payments scheduled for 2023, providing additional liquidity to the treasury position. On August 18th, the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit announced the creation of Bondes F, a floater linked to the overnight interbank equilibrium funding interest rate, which is a fallback rate. With this issuance, Mexico encouraged the adoption of a new reference rate, developed a liquid cash curve with new references in the local debt market, and promote a more efficient derivatives market by contributing to build a local OIS curve. Such instruments will offer coupon payments with identical periodicity and maturities as those of Bondes D, maintaining the same operational agreement. These instruments will continue to be a part of the ongoing open market operations held by the central bank. Going forward, in order to provide liquidity to this new instrument, the Minister of Finance will properly announce to the central bank as our financial agent exchange operations between Bondes F and Bondes D. These rules are already published in the Federal Official Gazette. On September 20th, the federal government concluded a syndicated operation of a new five-year reference with fixed interest rate and bonus for a total amount of 12,500 million pesos, thus reaching its objective to provide a liquid reference for the debt auction calendar. The transactions previously described are consistent with both the federal government annual borrowing plan and the primary auction calendar program and do not represent additional indebtedness that those authorized by Congress. It also reaffirms its commitment to maintain healthy public finances and a responsible debt management. Now, with regards to foreign debt management, on July 6, the federal government issued the second bond linked to the Sustainable Development Goals Framework. The new bond was issued for a 15-year maturity for a total amount of 1,250 million euros, which consolidated the Mexican Sustainable Yield Curve. The second bond had historically the lowest coupon and in the euro market, with its maturity at around 2.25%, with a 2.6 times B2 cover and a demand from 154 international investors. Going forward, these new references will help to promote the SDG curve and will be a key tool to build a sustainable financial policy. We expect to release the first issuance impact report in the coming weeks. Now, some debt portfolio metrics. In third quarter of 2021, the federal government debt portfolio preserves healthy risk indicators. The currency risk remained low, with 78.5% of the federal government's net debt being denominated in domestic currency and 21.5% denominated in foreign currency. Additionally, refinancing risk maintains a low level, since the average maturity of foreign market debt is 21.3 years and the average maturity of domestic market debt is 7.2 years. Lastly, interest rate risk is also limited, with 79.6% of domestic market debt held at long term and fixed nominal and real rate, while 100% of external market debt is at fixed rate. Finally, I would like to highlight that Ministry of Finance and Federal Government reassure their commitment to transparent, efficient, and responsible debt management in line with this administration's overall fiscal responsibility stance. Thank you for your attention.